Saturday night, that means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
Good evening, everybody. Hope you're having a nice weekend. Our continued thoughts and prayers are with everybody in Ukraine. Just horrible, horrible seeing what's been going on the last couple of days. As we said Thursday night, you know, there's not much that we can do. But here on this platform, maybe we can take everybody's minds off of this horrible situation going on. And let me tell you something, looking back at the analytics from Thursday, we did have people tuning in from that side of the world. So if we could at least alleviate your emotional pain for a little while, get your mind off of it, then we did our job. So good evening, everybody. This is the Don Tony Show for Saturday night. I am Don Tony, as always. I want to thank you very much for tuning in. And I have to once again thank you to Solomonster for coming on Thursday. Yes, let me tell you something, everybody. Somebody worded it perfectly. It felt like a pay-per-view. It felt like a special event. It felt like a holiday. Had a blast. Hopefully we can put to rest the claims, the wishes of a lot of people for many years that there was friction, there was heat. And I actually issued an apology at the very end of the show. I always knew that appearance that he made on a WrestleMania recap that I definitely rubbed a lot of people the wrong way by just being silent so much during the show, but I gave an explanation. And for a few people, I'd say, well, DT, why did you wait all these years to explain it? Well, I'll give you a simple answer, because nobody had the balls to ask me face-to-face, online. I just read dopey stuff in message boards and on social media, and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to run to clear it up if that's how they want to portray it, but I had a ball, man. I hope he is willing to come on again in the future, and we'll have a great show. Now, if you haven't tuned into the episode yet, check it out, because we got into some very deep conversation between Cesaro and a few other very important topics, and it was a great show. Great show, and for everybody who is new now, it's amazing to have so many people say, I had no idea that you were still doing this. I am very humbled by all of your kind words. And believe me, it moved me. And in some way, it changes me going forward. I think you will see a little bit of that change starting tonight. So we have a few things to get into tonight. Get a little into SmackDown, AEW Rampage, Tammy Sitch. My God, never learn. Arrested again. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the unification announcement that WWE is now going to unify titles with Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, which, you ever hear the phrase, you know, right decision, wrong time? I am totally against that, and I'll explain why. Hear me out. But I have to also get into this moronic, stupid, clickbait, asinine reports that Vince McMahon is going to get back in the ring and actually wrestle at WrestleMania. Will that be announced, advertised? We'll talk about it. But for people out there actually pushing it that Vince McMahon is actually going to wrestle, that is clickbait. We will talk about that in a little bit. And yes, I will also discuss WWE's decision to make Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte the main event of night one of WrestleMania. A couple of changes have gone down, which leads a chain of events. But before you say that it's not clickbait, check out what I have to say tonight, and then you decide. Post it in the comment section. Let me know what you think. At least hear me out first. All right. Now, if you saw the thumbnail for tonight's show, I think it's very self-explanatory. Be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you wish for. Now, this is not a black-white thing. I know the picture shows Bobby Lashley, Big E, and Kofi Kingston. I took that picture because I thought it was beautiful, because they just did a piece about black heavyweight champions in WWE. So I thought that that looked really, really nice for the thumbnail. I want to make that clear right off the bat. It's not a black or a white thing. But this does involve all three of those gentlemen. For years, I have said, I'm not a big fan of this brand split. I'd like to see unified champion. Then I started thinking back to the early 2010s, mid-2010s, when Brock Lesnar had a stranglehold on the championship and how so few people were getting up. My God, Jason and myself talked about it on Thursday, about Vince McMahon saying that millennials will not grab the brass ring as a shot to Cesaro and others. Vince McMahon, you know, doing the interviews. Do you realize Vince McMahon's comic was 8 years ago? For those that don't know, right before SmackDown aired on Friday night, February 25th, WWE announced that Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania will be a unification match. Yes, it's winner take all, but it's unification. Now, you ask yourself just logic for a minute. Just logic. Brock Lesnar won the Royal Rumble. He was not champion when he won the Royal Rumble. Why would Brock Lesnar, common sense, be willing to put his title up at WrestleMania? Sure, he's champion now, but he earned the title shot anyway. In storyline, why was it just automatically that Brock Lesnar has to give up his title too? That's number one. Number two, going back to this banner again. You mean to tell me, shout out to Sylvia, much love. Thank you as always. I hope you're doing well. You think about the championships, that thumbnail I showed you. Now you could have one heavyweight champion. If you're frustrated right now how they took the title off of Big E, if you're a little annoyed how Bobby Lashley's championship reign ended with an injury, you ask yourself, with The Rock versus Roman Reigns for next year's WrestleMania, for Brock Lesnar being paid, I've heard as much as $10 million. Please, that's not news. Just telling you what I have heard. You realize the amount of dates involved. You tell me, in the next year, with WWE doing super shows and trying to get the biggest advertisements possible, why do you think Johnny Knoxville is going to wrestle at WrestleMania? Why do you think Pat McAfee is going to do a little bit of wrestling at WrestleMania? Why do you think that you have other celebrities that might be doing stuff at WrestleMania? It's all about the buzz, the attention, the marquee. This is sports entertainment. We don't have to agree with a lot of it, but we have to understand it. You tell me how sometime during this time, unless they hit a lull, you tell me, where WWE is going to say, you know what? Yeah, we got to put the title back on Big E. You only have one title now. Honestly, right decision, wrong time. Because if you're frustrated, there's a lot of you out there that have said, man, I'd love to see Drew McIntyre getting back in the heavyweight title hunt. I know not everybody agrees with that, but there's a lot of you out there that have said that. There's a lot of you out there that said, wow, they did Big E wrong. But we are confident that they will right that wrong down the line. Kofi has not been in the championship hunt in recent memory. You think people were saying, oh, Riddle is going to be heavyweight champion before you know it. And you go down the list and you say to yourself, wait a minute. Now we only have one heavyweight champion. You're honestly going to say to me that somehow WWE Creative is going to get all much better because there's only one champion? Seriously. Look, I try to be as positive as I can on these shows. And I always try to look at the better side. And I always try to give solutions. I don't just complain. That's a lot of other people do that. But, you know, I will even say, you tell me how by having only one championship, it's going to make storylines better. That it's going to make more opportunities. Personally, you could kiss that heavyweight championship goodbye for a lot of people, unless somebody still gets COVID, unless, and even with that, I mean, the way, you know, it's getting less and less severe, with, especially with people who are vaccinated or have antibodies, because you could have antibodies without being vaccinated. So that recovery is quick. But what if you have a major injury? Brock tears his quad. Roman blows out his knee. These are not superhumans. Yes, they could get injured. But you honestly think that the wrestlers that I showed you and other wrestlers in your mind that you think could be heavyweight champion, you think that they have still just as much of a chance, or do you think that has been drastically diminished because of this? It is a big mistake. I will go one step further. Women's championship. Why is there two women's championships? You look at the wrestling world. Women and men should be equal, should be treated the same. Obviously, you know, that's the way it's portrayed, but how it is two totally different things. Money, ratings, attention, sales, that dictates it. But what does that say about Charlotte and Becky Lynch, soon to be Bianca Belair? What does that say that there's two women's championships, but there's only one on the men's side? What about tag team championships? Why is there two tag team championships? All right, maybe we can be fine with the tag team championships being on separate brands, but you tell me that that looks right, that you have one. Think about this in 2022. I've always said it. I don't think women's wrestling and men's wrestling should be 50-50 time on a TV unless the talent, the storyline, and the presentation and the entertainment value warrants it. I'm fine with a show being more women's wrestling than men's wrestling as long as it entertains me. But in this world where everything has got to be 50-50, you mean to tell me that you're not going to have an uproar? Why do we have two women's championships, but one man dominates the men's side? It's going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess. And again, I have said for a long time that I would have loved to see those titles. There'd be only one heavyweight champion. But if there's going to be one men's heavyweight champion, there's got to be one women's heavyweight champion. They should be one tag team champion. Look on the women's side. There's only one women's tag team championships, but on the men's side, there's two. Why? Because the women's tag team division sucks. It sucks. If the women's tag team division was stronger, you probably would have two sets of titles. You look at the men's tag team championship. I mean, I love American Alpha. Alpha Academy. I loved American Alpha too, but Alpha Academy. Thank you. You know how many times in my house, honey, are we going to, shoosh, shoosh. But all this comedy fodder, beating the street prophets 2 weeks in a row with bullshit, this and that. Next thing you know, 2 months go by and you have to do spelling bees and this and that. The tag team division is kind of weak as well. But if you just want to focus on heavyweight titles, you have two women's heavy main championships, but only one on the men's side. I'm telling you, out of everything, this kills opportunity. The days of seeing the possibility of Drew McIntyre, Big E, Riddle, and others. I mean, will one of them break through eventually? Sure. I wonder how people feel if it happens simply because Brock or Roman blow out a knee. This kills a lot of opportunity. I'd love to know what you think. Post it in the comment section after the show is over. I'd love to know what you think about that. I think it's a big mistake. Not in 2022. Not when you're trying to, you know, add legitimacy and build some of these lower card talents that should be in the main event picture. You look at the way WWE's gone forward in the last 2 years. I mean, it is clear and it's concise that it's about the big, big, big stars. And, you know, you take away one of those championships, man, you're killing a lot of opportunity for a lot of wrestlers that a lot of people feel should have one of those titles. Not everybody loves Brock Lesnar. Not everybody loves Roman Reigns, believe it or not. And people would tolerate them as long as others are getting opportunity as well. So, the brand split has nothing to do with what we're talking about. If you kill the brand, Thomas brings up a good question. Let me say this too. If you kill a brand split, then what that means is you will be more, see, this is why the brand split is needed still. It's not the brand split that's the problem. It's the creative side that's the problem. If you, do you realize why they did that, you know, where you could go to the opposite brand 4 times a year? Do you know why they did that? They didn't do that to make it interesting. They did that to challenge themselves. Does anybody realize that? WWE challenged themselves. Okay, we cannot keep going and bringing the Usos onto Raw. We cannot keep taking someone and bringing them to SmackDown to wrestle a match. So we're going to do this 4, you know, times a year thing because it forces them to really pick and choose when they pull Charlotte and put her on Raw, when they pull Becky and put her on SmackDown. That's why they did that. You end the brand split, and it basically, the gloves are off. Oh, you know, tag team on Raw is kind of shitty this, you know, right now. Oh, let's just throw the Usos on there. What are they doing on Raw? You take someone on Raw and you put them on SmackDown. What are they doing on SmackDown? And you will kill even more opportunity. They released so many people. And if their brand split ends and you start seeing wrestlers wrestling on Raw and on SmackDown, anybody, even if it's people we want, okay, Becky Lynch next week wrestles on Raw and wrestles on SmackDown. Well, guess what? That means that another female wrestler on SmackDown lost an opportunity. That is going to make it worse because it gets lazy. And as much as we support all wrestling and we want to see it good, WWE has been accused of lazy booking, and deservingly so. Rematch, 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 rematch. You don't think that they'll get lazy? Oh, let's just throw so-and-so on SmackDown. You know, just throw them on there. Oh, God. Right ideas, wrong time. Wrong time. All right. Let's talk about Vince McMahon, Pat McAfee. For those that don't know, I'm talking about something random for no reason. Vince McMahon will be a guest on the Pat McAfee show next Thursday, just so happens the day before SmackDown, at noon, and expect some forced fireworks. I know a lot of you out there, the first thing on your mind is, hey, you got to mention Cody Rhodes. You got to bring up Cody, Vince. You got to bring up controversial shit. Vince, why are you coming on the show? Why is Vince coming on the show? Okay. There is buzz going around that WWE is going to have Vince McMahon versus Pat McAfee at WrestleMania. Do I believe that that could be an advertised match? Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. But does anybody in their right mind think that Vince McMahon, as old as he is, as frail as he is going to start bumping around for Pat McAfee? He won't bump around for his dog. Vince McMahon cannot wrestle anymore. I know in the video game, he could still wrestle. I know when we watch old footage, he could still go. That headbutt that he got from Kevin Owens shocked the shit out of me. And that kind of looked kind of cacas on his part. The guy cannot move. He could work out in the gym. Yeah, he's sitting in a chair lifting weights. God bless him. God bless him. And I really mean that. There's no way this man is going to. I mean, you could see this a mile away. Austin Theory will step up and wrestle for Vince McMahon. That is what's going to happen if this happens at all. But there are people out there that actually are writing on their websites, on their shows, on the social media, Vince McMahon is wrestling Pat McAfee. Just look at the physical science and the peer. That's not happening. Why would anybody want to see that? I mean, I just said on Thursday with Solomonster, you know, other than my father and my brother, Vince McMahon is like the third longest man in my life. I mean, I know Vince McMahon gets a bad brag from a lot of people out there, but I am still a Vince McMahon fan. I will always appreciate the wrestling entertainment that he has given me since I was a child. And it's not just, you know, the wrestling. It's me bonding with my grandmother. It's me, you know, wanting to check out other alternatives. When WWF was bad, you know, that's how I got into ECW a little more, a little NWA, WCW. You know, it got me hooked as a wrestling fan. I am a huge fan of Vince McMahon. I would love to meet him one day, which is not going to happen. But he ain't wrestling. Come on. It's not even a possibility. I mean, I just cringe. I get nervous thinking about Vince's appearance on the Pat McAfee show, unless it was pre-recorded. Because if you think about those Austin Theory skits, which I thought some of them were entertaining, but if you think about those Austin Theory skits and how he came across talking and how frail he looks, could you imagine if it goes off the rails in the Pat McAfee show? What do you think he's... I could even do Vince better than Vince. Shut up! Could you picture Pat McAfee? Yeah, but Vince... Blah, 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 blah. Shut up! He's going to be like... Yeah. It's going to sound like a frog being stepped on. This has the recipe for a goddamn disaster on Thursday. I don't want it to be a disaster, but come on. Nobody could be that ignorant unless they have to use it to get to garner attention. Now, if that happened, WWE, you are fucking nuts. They would not let that happen. Vince won't even like walk down the ring anymore. Last year's WrestleMania, you know, when it was raining. Even when it stopped raining, he went to the stairs, he looked at everybody, and he walked off. You think he's going to walk down that ramp? You know, we love nostalgia. We love nostalgia in moderation. There's no way Vince McMahon is wrestling. And even if he is on the apron, it's going to be Austin Theory. Austin Theory is going to be a bump machine for Pat McAfee. It's going to get a lot of attention outside of pro wrestling. Vince McMahon is considered an icon even outside of pro wrestling. And they very well could advertise Vince McMahon versus Pat McAfee. But deep, deep, deep down inside, you know, this man has no business and will not wrestle. He won't. Can't. He can't. It's impossible. It's not happening. All right. Look. James is asking, what if the Saudi prince wanted Vince to wrestle? If he wanted Vince to wrestle, that would have already been brought up a couple of years ago. It's not happening. It's not happening. It's physically. And look, even if Vince got clearance from doctors, hey, you could do it for a little bit. Who the hell wants to see that? I mean, sometimes you see a car accident, you know, and there's a little bit of a tragedy and you really don't want to look. You know, somebody gets run over and gets hit by a car. I mean, it's this, you know, disgusting scene. And you're like this. That's what's going to happen with Vince. Does anybody really want to see Vince in there? Unless everybody is like, is he going to get hurt? Is he going to this? What do you think he's going to do? He cannot wrestle. Trust me, cinematic match. Yeah, cinematic match. What are you going to do? What can you do? It's not happening. It's not happening. All right. Cody, you know, I put up a little, and I tweeted a little bit yesterday and the day before, because so many of you were so nice to react to the episode I did with Solomonst on Thursday. It was a special event. It felt like a holiday. I broke my cherry. I mean, really, he's first guest I've had since 1997. You know, Conan's situation was a life or death situation. And that was different. That's not like, hey, Conan, what made you want to get into the wrestling business? No. Jason is the first guest in 25 years. So it was a special thing. And I owed a lot of you to, you know, be sociable. But just for the hell of it, I asked, hey, what do you think? Cody Rhodes versus Pat McAfee. Because that could possibly happen. I mean, some people think it could happen. Because it's not going to be Vince. But in my honest opinion, I will reiterate what I said last week. Cody Rhodes, the best time to bring Cody Rhodes back to television is not WrestleMania. Sure as hell wasn't going to be Saudi Arabia. You already got the $50 million payday. Why would you bring Cody there? The best time to bring Cody Rhodes back to WWE television. T2P. T2P. Time to pee. Just subscribe. Much love. Welcome to the family. Sounds like the Bray Wyatt skits, right? The best time to return Cody Rhodes to TV, the night after WrestleMania. The night after WrestleMania. That's, for me, in my opinion, if you're going to bring Cody back on TV, night after WrestleMania. Monday Night Raw. That's what I would do. All right. Now. Also announced yesterday is that Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair will be the main event for night one of WrestleMania. Now, last week I did say that Bianca Belair versus Becky Lynch was the co-main event for night one of WrestleMania. Because WWE decided to make the Lesnar-Reigns match a title unification, they wanted all of the spotlight on night two to be on Reigns and Lesnar. Do you remember my Elimination Chamber recap when I said that WWE is not going to make Lesnar Reigns a three-way? They want this to be remembered like Hogan Andre, Hogan Warrior, Austin Rock. A lot of you remember. Hell, that was brought up in promos yesterday with Paul Heyman. Legend Killer 529, welcome. That was brought up with Paul Heyman on SmackDown yesterday, bringing up the biggest iconic matches of yet. This is going to be a match. Like I said, the night of Elimination Chamber, this is going to be a match that they want 5, 10, 20 years down the line, people to remember that match that night. So because of that, Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair was moved to Monday. So, Saturday. I got a little sidetracked because, while we're talking about, unification match, Crazy Cruiserweight brings up Shingo Takagi. Oh, by the way, going forward, and I got this from Solomon, sir, and it's an excellent idea. Unless a super chat really intertwines with a current conversation, I'm going to answer them towards the end of the show or in the middle of the show. We did it on Thursday, and it was just awesome. It turned into 45 minutes of conversation. So, I had asked him about that, like, how do you handle it so well? And he said he does a designated segment, and, it's not just super chats, it's just regular chat room as well, everybody tuning in. But so I don't want anybody to think that they're being ignored right now. We'll get into them shortly. Tonight's show's not going to be a tremendously long show because tomorrow I'm right back here for the sit-down. And we are going to take calls and, we'll continue some conversation. So anyway, so with Reigns and Lesnar being unification now, all the focus on night two is on those two guys as far as championships go. It's going to be interesting to see where they place Bianca and Becky on the card. Would they dare have both women's matches on night one? I personally don't think so. I think this now makes Becky and Bianca night two. But if they do that, they have to call it a co-main event because it warrants. Yes, Bianca didn't win a Royal Rumble, but she won the Elimination Chamber, which gives you a title opportunity, which is the same prize from the Royal Rumble. It's not that, Ronda won the Rumble, but Bianca won the Chamber. No, they both end up with the same opportunity. So they have to treat it a little bit equal. Plus, this is going to be a huge WrestleMania moment for Bianca Belair. So, everything is thrown up in the air, obviously. Kevin Owens versus Steve Austin is pretty much a lock. What I would love, and maybe what I'll do in the community section, I'll put up a poll this weekend. I ask all of you, should Steve Austin versus Kevin Owens be an advertised one-on-one match, or should it be a Kevin Owens show segment with Steve Austin? Basically, what is happening now is Kevin Owens, everything about Kevin Owens is going to be Texas, 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 Texas. If you remember back in the day, in the early years of Monday Night Raw, and especially the Attitude Era, how many times did you hear myself, other hotlines, podcasts that would say, during the commercial break, so-and-so came out and dissed the crowd, and then we come back from commercial break, and just so happens that wrestler comes out right after for a match and would get crazy heel heat. And we'd be like, wow, why is Val Venis getting so much heel heat tonight? And then we find out, while we were at commercial, Val Venis came out and made fun of the entire building, made fun of it, and got that extra heel heat. And that would be done in commercial breaks. That is the same concept with Kevin Owens right now. Kevin Owens is creating nuclear heat in Texas. Everything is putting down Texas, 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 Texas. Steve Austin will be not mentioned as Stone Cold. Yes, they'll say Stone Cold, but it's going to be focused on the Texas Rattlesnake. When that glass hits in Texas, in fact, Kevin Owens, probably even if he has a match, will get on the mic and put down Texas And I don't mean this literally, but he might as well have a verbal bulletproof shield on him, because he is getting so much nuclear heat in Texas that when that glass shatters, when you hear that noise, that building is going to go, as Pat Patterson would say, banana. The pop that Steve Austin is going to get is going to be sick, insane. It will be memorable. But I ask you, should it be a one-on-one match, or should it be a Kevin Owens segment with Austin coming out and just putting the boots onto Steve Austin? I mean, onto Kevin Owens. I personally, WWE would have balls. WWE would have balls if they didn't announce Steve Austin prior to WrestleMania. That would be balls, because people would wonder. But I personally think that Texas crowd has to know that that man is coming out. And when he comes out, holy shit, it is going to be deafening. So that is a lock. But I ask all of you, should it be a one-on-one match, or should it be a Kevin Owens segment, which leads to the beatdown? To the beatdown. Very quickly, Shotzi Blackheart. Yesterday on SmackDown, and I guess we could get into SmackDown now. Shotzi Blackheart performed on SmackDown. She only wrestled 2 minutes, and it was against Sasha Banks. In a few moments, I'm going to go like this. And actually, for those live right now, I have it pinned in the chat. Shotzi Blackheart has been dealing with some really severe lower back pain. And that does affect your quality of life. It has been, because look, a lot of people, I mean, I even saw James Ellsworth yesterday writing on social media, she gets no entrance, she gets no time in the ring, she's hardly being used, she could be a main event star, why is she being used this way? Well, Mr. Ellsworth, because she's got a severe lower back injury. There is a YouTube clip for a chiropractor. And I think she works out of her home. And I got to be honest with you, if I want to say this more in a joking way, and I stress joking way, if you go back and you look at it, it's called Mondragon, M-O-N-D-R-A-G-O-N, chiropractic. I'm just being lighthearted here. When I saw a couple of screenshots of the video, I thought I was seeing the beginning of an X-rated scene. Because you have Shotzi sitting in someone's living room with a, I think it was a rug floor, I think a fireplace in the background. She's on her knees. And then you got this other woman, which is supposed to be a doctor, and she's got like these tight Nike-like shorts, big bazoomas, and they're just like having a kind of, if you turn the volume off, and you didn't know anything about wrestling, you would have thought, okay, it's probably leading. It's almost like the Alexa Bliss psychologist segments when Mish said early on that it almost looks like a bad porn scene, that it leads to, you know, an X-rated scene. Go watch the video and you'll see what I'm talking about. I saw screenshots. I'm like, you know, this is not in a doctor's office. And I don't know any chiropractors that dress like that. You give me, and even when she's like pushing the back and you know, dropping a little bit of oil and going like this, and then the camera's positioned that it's like just like barely, like slightly above the chiropractor's buttocks. I'm like, wow, this looks like a bad, like edited version of an adult film. But it's not a joking matter though. If you look at the clip, you understand of what Shotzi's going through is the woman cannot even get up at times. So WWE, you know, has not released her. Good. She is dealing with some severe lower back pain. And that is why she is not being used as much as she should be. And that's why her matches are being cut very short. They don't want to re-injure her. And they don't want to aggravate what she's going through. That is Trust me, I don't wish it on anybody because I deal with permanent pain from my car accident in 96. And it sucks when a doctor says to you, what level of pain do you have right now? And I say, ah, oh, it's a 6, 7. You know, it's the worst that I, when Shotzi says that it's a 10, that is severe, 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 severe pain. I wish nothing but the best for Shotzi Blackheart. But if you look at that video, and like I said, it's pinned in the chat room right now, or I'll go like this. You can watch it. You know, I hope this helps. I hope this helps because she's too good. And even if she wasn't good, but she has such a bright career ahead of her in the world of pro wrestling, you don't want it derailed because of a severe back injury, severe back pain. I think that's the better way to put it. So I wish Shotzi Blackheart nothing but the best, but at least it's not a creative thing. Because you know, a lot of people will just immediately like, oh, WWE is nothing for Shotzi. It's much more severe than that. And as the chat room is showing, Shotzi has a large, big fan base. They want to see her get better. So let's talk a little bit about, oh, and later on we will update all of you about this announcement Tony Khan is going to make on Wednesday's Dynamite. It's not Forbidden Door. It's bigger than that. A lot of people are starting to speculate. We will talk about that towards the end of the show. Let's quickly run through SmackDown and Rampage yesterday. SmackDown opened up with Ronda Rousey being interviewed by Michael Cole. I will continue what I'm saying. You give Ronda Rousey more time, get acclimated, but, you know, you can't force happiness and you can't force, you know, just smiling and enjoyment unless you really feel it. Brock Lesnar, it's all about money. He is straight up. He'll tell you, I watched the Pat McAfee interview. It's all about money for him, but he's legitimately having fun right now. He is having fun. You see him interacting even with kids going down the rampway, ringside. Last night with Paul Heyman, Mr. Dick. He called him Mr. Dick, which was awesome. But, you know, you could see he's having fun. He's making serious money, but he's having fun. Ronda Rousey, though, you know, the charisma department is not there. And I'm not saying that Roman Reigns was never charismatic, but Roman Reigns, at the end of SmackDown yesterday, cut arguably the promo of his career. And the reason why I say it is because it was so intense, it was so believable, that you felt that Roman Reigns legitimately got angry. No slip-ups, no stuttering, no forced one-liners. He killed it. Yes, Darren, he killed it yesterday. So in the future, maybe Ronda Rousey turns the corner. But, you know, they're not, it almost feels like, oh, well, you know, she's bigger than that. Are they giving a promo class at all? Is she even offer like, you know, look, you know, could help me with my promo? She comes out there very, very, you know, serene, you know, very, very bland, you know, she's talking about, you know, I was the first woman to main event the UFC. First woman inducted in the Hall of Fame. That she brings up her mom. She talks about having a kid. But no, like, just one tone. You know, you play a piano and you got different keys. If you would have taken her voice and changed it into music, it would have said just one tone. Very, very matter of fact. Just like unenergetic, didn't feel it. Then Charlotte's music hits, and you're reminded why Charlotte Flair is the number one female in WWE. She is just, you know, the way her presentation with what she says. I mean, just because Ronda Rousey has a whole bunch of eyeliner on and she's looking at Charlotte like how I feel right now, I'm constipated. I didn't take a dump since yesterday morning. I got to go so bad and it won't come out. For real. That's how I feel right now. Ronda's just looking like, I mean, Ronda will kick her ass. But Charlotte comes out, runs the bad mouth to Ronda Rousey. Sonya Deville jumps Ronda from behind. Ronda recovers. Sonya gets out of Dodge. Then we're in the back, and Adam Pearce is watching the video, and Sonya Deville is proud. And Adam Pearce is like, you know, because of what you did, next week you're going one-on-one with Ronda Rousey. Why didn't Sonya Deville just turn around and Adam Pearce said, no, I'm not, just walk off? You know, now Adam Pearce has more authority than Sonya Deville. What happened to Vince?
I just got off the phone with Vince.
He says what you did was unacceptable. And as a result, you're going one-on-one with Ronda. Is it that freaking hard? Is it that hard? So next week we get Ronda Rousey versus Sonya Deville. The New Day over Los Lotharios. And we have a little news. We have a little news. It happened once again. And I'm just put a little timestamp. Yesterday, we had the Kiss Camp once again. Beautiful girl, smiling ear to ear. Los Lotharios gives her a kiss. Well, believe it or not, this same female appeared on Rampage yesterday. Now, yes, Rampage was taped on Wednesday, so she did not do a ravishing Rick Rude where she was live on both nights. I mean, it's impossible to be live on both nights unless you hop on a jet, you know, and get to a different building in an hour. But still, nonetheless, we had the same appearance by this woman on both episodes last night. For those that don't know, she is not Reese 9984. Welcome to the family. That is Kayla Sparks. She answered Serena Deeb's 5-minute challenge. So Kayla Sparks, hey, good for her, man. She works Rampage on Wednesday's taping. And then SmackDown says, hey, come down on Friday, and we'll put you in the Kiss Cam segment. So, you know, look, listen, you know, she's a cute girl. Why not do the Kiss Cam segment? You don't want to do it with a random fan, where the random fan might go into business for themselves and try to get animated and try. I mean, it's almost like what the guest hosts used to do on Raw when they tried to get into business to get themselves over. So, good for her, man. Good for her. I thought that was pretty cool to see that she was on both. But anyway, Los Lotharios gives the kiss to Kayla Sparks. Then they go on to lose to the New Day. New Day hitting the midnight hour for the win. And New Day now coming down to the ring with an ATV. No issues whatsoever. Again, you know, I know a lot of people are still very angry for the way Big E lost that championship. If you legitimately are angry, you should be livid about the unification for the reasons I said earlier. If you feel otherwise, I totally respect that. But a lot of wrestlers, they just got one less opportunity to get a heavyweight championship. In the back, Sheamus and Ridge Holland challenged the New Day to a match. They laugh it off and they just ATV it out of there. Sam Roberts backstage with the Usos, and the Usos, they're making fun of the Viking Raiders. Viking Raiders came in and attacked the Usos. That sets up their championship match next week on SmackDown. Megan Morant interviewing Xia Li, the protector, and she has a match with Natalya. We said a week or two ago that she was going to debut any moment, and she did. She beat Natty in 4 minutes, spinning heel kick. Look good. Again, I love Xia Li. If you follow these shows, especially in NXT, we took notice that she was off TV for 7 weeks. That I even photoshopped her image on a milk carton. I mean, she had that momentum in NXT, and then it just stopped. I am a big Xia Li fan. But I can't help it, man. When she comes down to the ring, I mean, she was doing it with the swords. Now it's a little bit tweaked a little bit. When she goes down, yeah, yeah, wah! If I was sitting on the rampway as a fan and she was walking down the ring and, like, you pretend you're me just looking this way and I went like this, yeah, I would freaking bust out laughing. I mean, trust me, she could spin kick my ass. She could kick the shit out of me. I'm not stupid. But her entrance, I get a little laugh out of it. But she beat Natty. You beat Natty, you get a nice rub. So Xia Li with the win. Let's see where it goes. Let's see where it goes. Sami Zayn, Intercontinental Championship celebration interrupted by Johnny Knoxville. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago that it was going to be Sami Zayn versus Johnny Knoxville for the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania 38. Johnny Knoxville issues the challenge. Sami Zayn says no. Johnny Knoxville accuses Sami of not having balls. And Sami, pretending to leave the ring, turns around and attacks Knoxville. Huluva kick. Johnny Knoxville, man, I was not a fan of this guy. And I said early on, I'm not feeling it. Within 2 weeks, Johnny Knoxville sold me. The man is a lifelong wrestling fan. The guy is taking it seriously. I wouldn't call it Bad Bunny seriously. I mean, physically, you know, they're obviously two different athletes. They're not even athletes if you think about it. But he's taking it seriously. And Sami Zayn is taking it seriously as well. This is going to be a lot better, I think people think. And Knoxville's like, just lay it in me, man. I'm good. You know, I'm not no prima donna Hollywood, but you can just nail me. I mean, nobody wants to get kicked in the face. But, you know, if it inadvertently connects, you're not going to hear me bitch and complain in the back. Guy is got a set. And we're getting Knoxville versus Sami Zayn. But before that, which I thought, personally, I thought it was out of place, man. You know, in the back, Sami Zayn annoyed at what went down. And Sami wanted to be a fighting champion, as everybody says. A Ricochet shows up. Ricochet's like, you know, you have balls? I want to fight you next week. So next week they're having a match. Does anybody in their right mind think that Ricochet's winning that belt? No. I think that's ass backwards. I would have had Ricochet take on Sami. Let Sami beat Ricochet. Get on the mic. Celebrate a little bit. Tout his win. Tout his championship victory. Then you have Johnny Knoxville come out. Because you issue the challenge, and then next week there's a title match as if anything's going to happen. Why do you think a lot of Rampage's ratings are so low? Because the outcomes are so predictable. You looked at the matches yesterday. The outcomes pretty much across the board were so predictable. Yeah, you got spoilers as well, but a lot of people do not post spoilers. When you know the outcome, I have no interest in watching Ricochet versus Sami Zayn next week. I'm sure it's going to be a great match, but we know what the outcome is going to be. Now we get into something interesting. Very, very interesting. And much love, Alexis Rodriguez. Thank you very much for the kind words. And thank you. I'm very happy that you enjoyed Thursday's show. I had a ball with Solomonsta. Again, I'm not going to lie to you. Probably my favorite episode that I have done in years. You know, it's hard to compare it to other shows, but, you know, just everything was just genuine. You know, everything that you saw, nothing was forced. Nobody had like a sour taste in their mouth. We had a nice conversation and worlds truly collided. I mean, our worlds collided. My viewpoints are a lot of different, very different than Jason's. I will say this for a few people that were like, oh, I power talked Jason. I did not power talk Jason at all. I watched the show back. I wanted to check it out. I wanted to see some of his reactions to some things that I said, and I wanted to see a few other things myself as well. And I didn't power talk him once. And a lot of times I sat there and let him answer 100%. So I think some people, you know, forgot, you know, it's my show. I have to open it. I have to lead the topics in and close it out. You know, he's my very special guest. But I wanted the show to be even, and I think we accomplished that. Here's where we get interesting. Sasha Banks beating Shotzi in 2 minutes, as we said earlier. Shotzi dealing with the serious back pain. Naomi comes out. Naomi is on commentary. And we're watching and we're wondering, like, why? After Sasha Banks wins. Oh, and by the way, I got the autographed Sasha Banks Sailor Moon photos. She posed backstage, autographed a few. I got them. I'll show them to you tomorrow. After the match was over, Naomi hits the ring. Naomi announces that she and Sasha Banks want the Women's Tag Team Championships. You remember here, a couple of weeks ago, I told you Sasha Banks was going for the Tag Team Championships at WrestleMania. I didn't expect sites to report, but we talked about it already. The difference is Bayley. Can Bayley return? Now, I don't know if anybody read into this yesterday. We have discussions here. We do discuss news, but we have mostly discussion. When Naomi hit the ring, I know Steph and a few others who are tremendous fans of Sonya Deville. You all had to have asked yourself yesterday, like, I thought Sonya and Naomi were fighting at WrestleMania. They did like a 19-month storyline, and yes, I'm exaggerating. You mean to tell me right before Mania, that storyline is dropped? Now, you could look at this two different ways. I'm going to give you both sides of this. You could look at one side of it. They want to give Naomi that tag team title opportunity with Sasha because Naomi's been so underutilized. She earned it. She deserves it. She ain't getting the women's championship singular title right now, so they want to reward Naomi. And Naomi doesn't have a regular partner right now that she could win the titles with, so they went with Sasha. So Naomi could be rewarded for, you know, her recent work and, you know, everything that she's done. Plus, she's been a team player. I mean, just think for the last 6 months. I mean, a lot of people in WWE would have just said, I don't want to be part of this. This is bullshit. I mean, she ate a lot of crow and she didn't do anything wrong. She ate a lot of plates of shit for no reason because WWE had nothing for her creatively. So this could be a reward for Naomi for recent work. That is one side of it. Now I present you the other side. Why would Sonya Deville allow Naomi to go for the tag team titles at WrestleMania? Doesn't it seem, based on the storyline, unless Sonya Deville loses her powers before Mania, maybe we see a swerve where Sonya Deville says, to quote Bianca, and Sonya Deville may pull that opportunity away from Naomi. If that's the case, could that be a swerve to bring Bayley back and then Bayley and Sasha Banks team up? And remember, they are history when it comes to the women's tag team championships. So we got two scenarios here. Rewarding Naomi, screwing Naomi. But it could lead to Naomi being rewarded anyway, but it won't involve a title. Curious what you think about that. Because it could go either way right now. But I know there's a lot of people that are a little confused that this story. Because look, Sonya Deville still has power. She still has authority. Now, that's why I thought the Vince McMahon aspect should have been so important yesterday when they announced Ronda versus Sonya. Because it could have simply been, you know, and Vince didn't have to be there. You know, by the office, you know, you've been abusing your authority, this and that, and you are hereby no longer, you know, office, or you are, you know, just however they want it. We don't get paid. So however they want to word it. But they didn't do that. So why would Sonya Deville allow Naomi to get the tag team title shot? So let's see which way they go. The only Sonya in storyline, she has to block it. She has to block it. Mongo Slate, I'm with you. She has to. The only way she doesn't is if she blocks it and Adam Pearson and or Vince says, no, I'm letting it go through. Or she's relieved of her duties. So we'll see. Drew McIntyre over Madcap Moss. It was supposed to be Corbin. Corbin versus McIntyre at Mania is still a possibility, a very high possibility. I was thinking yesterday, would you rather have Drew McIntyre versus Corbin? Would you rather have Madcap Moss versus Corbin? Because Corbin yesterday was supposed to be in the match, and he had Moss take his place. Moss not too thrilled about it. I'll tell you this much. If you thought Madcap Moss was going to get some cheers for the spot at Chamber and finishing the match, he got booed out of the building big time yesterday. Even during the backstage segment when Drew McIntyre wasn't around. But you could see it. Moss is breaking away from Corbin. The only question is, does that breakup happen before Mania, at Mania, or right after Mania? So we will see. But McIntyre wins once again. Now it's the Claymore out of nowhere. Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, contract signing. And I tell you, my favorite part of the signing yesterday, besides Roman Reigns' promo, besides Brock Lesnar calling Paul Heyman Mr. Dick, but I have the video of it too, all right? This was from yesterday. Now, we had security guards in the ring, and as Paul Heyman said, that security was there to protect Brock Lesnar from Roman Reigns. And by the way, it was hilarious yesterday. They had to go to a commercial. And Paul Heyman knows that they're going to a commercial in like 5 seconds. And he's talking and he says, and that is called a cliffhanger. And it, within a half a second, if you would have thought that that Fox and Paul Heyman planned it out that way, it was too perfect. It was just, everybody was laughing the way it came off. It was just awesome. You know, Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar have so much chemistry right now. Maybe arguably more chemistry now as foes than when they were together. Because a lot of times Paul Heyman would be on the mic and all Brock would do is, you know, like in the ring and just stand there and look angry, intimidating, and say nothing. So they're in a league of their own right now. So Roman Reigns, you know, he tells Hershey, Pennsylvania, acknowledge me. Roman Reigns is at the pinnacle of his tribal chief run right now. Perfect leading into WrestleMania. Brock comes out, and again, we think these security guards are here to protect Brock Lesnar from Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns starts cutting his promo, and he starts talking about, this is my show. Everybody works for me. He looks at a cameraman. He works for me. He looks at Pat McAfee and Michael Cole. They work for me. And the security works for him too. So Brock Lesnar is in the ring, as you could see with these security guards. Now, this is video, and we're going to pause it, but I want you to just focus on the center of the video. Now, for those on audio only, I will describe it. You don't have to, you know, go to the video just to check this out. But now Brock Lesnar realizes that all these security guards are hired by Roman Reigns and probably to try to take out Roman Reigns. And by the way, Paul Heyman also mentioned that on March 5th, Brock Lesnar has to defend the WWE Championship at Madison Square Garden. Now, I want to shout out Mike, Joe, Julian, and Jose, who all reached out to me asking me if I'm going to be coming down to the Garden. Fact is, my fiance has a stress test Sunday morning, March 6th, and I have to take her. So we really were thinking about just like staying in, but I'm seriously considering going. So I'm not sure yet. But anyway, let's go back to the screen. Now, you're looking at the security guards, and one caught my attention right off the bat. And look, I'm not, you know, it sucks in 2022 that even when you describe someone this way, it's supposed to be wrong. But you got a black guy in the middle of the ring, dark-skinned guy right in the center. And that's the only way I could describe. They're all wearing security shirts. All right, the guy with hair. You know, and then you're going to be like, okay, which guy with hair? Okay, the lighter-skinned black security guard. He's in the ring. And I thought that this was priceless. Look. He lifts his arms like, yeah, we're going to go. Now he's on the right. If you look, he's around 1 o'clock on the screen. He lifts up his arms like, yeah, we're throwing down, Brock. And these are indie wrestlers. Now, honestly, if I was WWE, I never invite that guy back. Not because of skin color or anything like that, but I know you're supposed to be a hired gun from Roman Reigns. But this guy actually lifts up his fists to put the attention on him. Now, you look at all the other security guards, white, black, rotund, skinny, you know, whatever. They're just staring at Brock like they're supposed to. This guy is the only guy that lifts his fists up. Well, what? Look, he's swinging. He's rolling his arms. He's winding up. He's like, let's go, Brock. So Brock is like, yeah, no, fuck this. So you see the other guys, they take their bumps. They're standing there looking in shock. You know, they're trying to do something about it, and Brock is taking them out. Yeah, Brock is taking this guy out. Little kick, little punch. There you go, little kick. Now look at that. Look at left. 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock p.m. It's 9 o'clock p.m. over here too, but 9 o'clock on the screen. He's still got his fucking fist up. So Brock Lesnar's like, yeah, all right, you want to keep throwing down? Look, hey, come on, let's fight. Let's throw punches. I'm going to throw. Now, yes, I know it's storyline, but this guy tried to make it all about himself, to put the center of attention on him, that he was standing up to Brock. Instead of just being a security guard getting your ass kicked so Roman Reigns is disappointed, this guy is got his fist clenched. He's winding up. He's telling Brock, I'm not standing down. All my guys just got their ass kicked. I'm standing up, and I'm going to face you like a man. Well, Brock's like, fuck you. There you go. That's it. That's what you do to somebody like that. You throw the chair right in his goddamn head. And to me, that was better than when Braun Strowman threw the chair at Roman Reigns. He's like, yeah, how do you feel now? Now, this guy also did something else. That to me, you know, look, I went to indie wrestling school for 9 months and I worked about 70 shows. I wasn't good or anything. But, you know, one thing I noticed right away is that if you're in the ring with a segment and there is debris, a microphone, something there, a belt, something where somebody could get hurt, you inadvertently knock it out of the way. I want you to see something else that this idiot did. All right, I think the video doesn't cut off. All right, so now look, he's laid out, couple of guys. Yeah, all right, Leah, we'll just throw these guys out, get him out of the ring because they're all supposed to leave the ring. Now, I want you to watch that guy that got the chair in his face. Should happen right about now. You'll see it. Okay, look, see the guy on the right? Instead of moving around on the mat like a fish out of water, look what he does. He reaches over to grab the microphone. Now, sure, he's pulling out of the way to avoid his partner to land on it and possibly get hurt. But you don't reach over and grab the microphone to move it out of the way. You got to do it inadvertently. You got to swing your legs, kick it out of the way. You got to act like you're writhing in pain and you inadvertently knock that microphone out of it. No, he pulls the fucking microphone out of there. And then look what he does. He puts the microphone in the corner. And there you go. Yeah, that's it. I would have dumped him straight on his head. Mad Cop Moss style. So, and if you want to compare it to social media, yeah, this is how I feel about Twitter. A lot of people. That's them on Twitter. And this is them in real life. Yeah. That's how I look at social media right now. If I'm WWE, you never hire that guy again. I don't care if he is the brother of somebody high up in that company. I don't care if he's a Make-A-Wish survivor. I don't care if he gave them a $5,000 donation. I don't care if he bought Undertaker's NFTs. I don't care if he saw something he shouldn't have. That guy should not have been. That guy is just awful. Freaking awful. Yeah. You know what it reminds me of? You remember that old was that the ECW game? Guys, gals in the chat right now, was that the ECW game that when you were facing off in the ring before you even did a move, for some reason, everybody, how do I say this nicely? Everybody had some type of nerve disorder that instead of being in a ring like this, ready to lock up, they would be like this. Anybody remember that video game? Was that the ECW video game? Like you're just standing there like ready to lock up and for some reason they're like this. I look like the chipmunk from Caddyshack. Was it Warzone? Psycho says it's Warzone. Could it be Anarchy Rules All? I remember an old video game. I'm like, why are they moving like this? Yeah, Warzone. Okay, so it was Warzone. It wasn't the ECW game. It was the Warzone game. Go back and watch it. If you've never seen it, just go on YouTube. Type in WWF Warzone video game. I'm sure somebody has footage of them playing it. And you just look, they're like, I'm all right. All right, so that's how SmackDown went off the air. Not a bad show. Next week, Ronda Rousey versus Sonya Deville, the Usos versus the Viking Raiders, and Ricochet challenges Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental Championship. Talk about Rampage quickly. Right now we're at 73 minutes. We got about 15 minutes left. Rampage, not a bad show. I mean, very predictable, but still the wrestling was excellent. Sammy Guevara retaining. Oh, you know what? Kevin Murillo, excellent observation about the video games. Both of those games were made by Acclaim. So in somebody in Acclaim, they obviously, I don't think this was intentional, but for some reason they couldn't fix that problem. Oh, Acclaim. Acclaim had some good games back in the day, though. Acclaim was not all that bad. But I still, did you ever think all these years later on a podcast, we would see something on TV and somehow randomly remember like, hey, I remember that WWF game where people would just be like this for no reason. Back to the future. Sammy Guevara retains the TNT Championship over Andrade. Matt Hardy, you know, I mean, it's not his fault, but, you know, he should not have appeared on TV after walking out on Private Party, walking through the crowd. See, that's where AEW got it wrong. 2 weeks ago, Matt Hardy was frustrated at Private Party, and he walked out through the crowd. Symbolic of what Jeff Hardy did on his WWE exit. The difference is Jeff Hardy didn't show up on TV again for WWE afterwards. Matt Hardy comes out the next week. I don't care if he's upset or not. He comes out like, oh, I guess you found the entrance to the rampway. But he's out there with Andrade. I say, now we know why that happened yesterday. Because Matt Hardy tries to interfere unsuccessfully. Guevara retains his TNT championship. After the match is over, Matt Hardy attacks Guevara, and he's saved by Sting and Darby Allin. Isaiah Cassidy shows up, and there's your Acme Insta match for Revolution. Matt Hardy, Guevara, it could be against Darby and Sting, or they could go the trios, or since Sting is wrestling, it's got to be like Texas Tornado or no DQ. You notice whenever Sting is in a match now, there's always where he can just like walk around and, you know, take bumps, you know, not have to take too many back bumps in the ring. He brawls. I mean, 60 something years old. That's fine with me. That's fine with me. If that's how you have to use Sting, that's fine. They ain't using Vince that way either, everyone. If anybody's got, well, maybe they do a street fight with Vince McMahon. The only thing that I could see Vince McMahon wrestling is thumb wrestling when he's sitting in at his table. That's it. The man is not wrestling. They could tease it. It'll be the same thing like him teaming up with God. He could go to the ring. you know, stand on the apron, thinking even if they had a face-to-face in the ring, him and Pat McAfee, Austin Theory shit is coming out. And Austin Theory's like, boss, let me take care of this. That's what's happening. Opinion, not news. Common sense, I would say. So that sets up a revolution match. QT Marshall, we talked about this 2-3 weeks ago. This whole storyline was ending with Hook versus Who Dat. Look, I know a lot of people are into Hook. I love Jericho's idea. They should come out with a Hookamaniac shirt. I know a lot of people don't like Hogan, especially in this new generation, but Hookamaniacs, I like it. I mean, you just don't want Hook to come out one day, do like an interview, and he's got his hair all, you know, looking like that he just was at a strip joint and got a lap dance on his head. He's wearing, you know, like the really tight outfit, and he's looking sexy for all the girls. And then he's like, well, let me tell you something, brother. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. You know, Hookamaniacs, pretty wild, brother. So, Who Dat? Yo, he sends his students out there. They all get the shit knocked out of them, brother. So now we got Who Dat versus Hook coming up. Will that be a revolution? Probably, I would think so. I mean, QT Marshall, I still remember that paper. You people that didn't tune into my recap back then, remember, that billboard of Paul White versus QT Marshall at that pay-per-view, if you go back and you look at it, when they were posed like this, they weren't going like this, but they were just posed. That is the same pay-per-view poster of The Rock versus John Cena. Go back. I mean, we talked about that night. With the amount of work that QT Marshall does behind the scenes, I will even say, man has earned the opportunity to work the pay-per-view. Maybe it's a pre-show match. Maybe it's an unadvertised match. But if Hook is going to choke out Who Dat in a minute, I'm fine with it. So, Wardlow over Nick Comoroto. 4 power bombs, pin. I don't like that Nick Comoroto's jobbed out like that. It's much better than like they've done nothing with Comoroto. But the funny thing is, if you don't pay attention to Dark Elevation, Comoroto right now could be 66-6, you know. Dan Lambert, Men of the Year. Big mistake. Lambert wants a TNT title shot or an opportunity in a ladder match for Scorpio Sky. He is going to be getting a TNT title shot. No mention of Cody or Brandy whatsoever. I know they wanted to handle this professionally. And look, you know, as far as I know, Cody is not signed on the dotted line with WWE. You know, they didn't have, Tony Khan and Cody did not have this falling out where they despise and hate each other. Oh, hope your mom dies. Nothing like that on either side. It's fucked up, they say. My point is, you know, like, if Tony called and said, look, you know, maybe we could compromise or I could commit to a number that might be reasonable. There's no reason why Cody, if there's no verbal agreement with WWE, why Cody can't still renegotiate or talk to Tony Khan. So maybe in Tony Khan's thinking, that maybe he's holding out hope. I don't know. I mean, maybe Tony Khan is happy that Cody is gone. But if he's holding out hope that maybe Cody could change his mind, one of the things that he felt was Dan Lambert, under no circumstances, do you bring up Cody or Brandy? That hurts Dan Lambert. Because Dan Lambert's whole character has been about this outsider that hates AEW, hates management, hates the fans, hates this, hates that, has been running rampant, putting down Cody and Brandy, and then he comes out there and doesn't even mention it. In my opinion, I would not have had Dan Lambert out there yesterday at all. That's just my opinion. There's many reasons, other ways they could have had Scorpio Sky issue a challenge. And the minute he opened his mouth and didn't say anything about Cody, big mistake, in my opinion. Serena Deeb over Kayla Sparks, as I said earlier, defeats her in 2 minutes. We still don't know if Serena's going to have a five-minute challenge at Revolution. And remember my scenario for a couple of weeks now. Serena does. Whoever answers it, it's got to be somebody that's not currently on the roster and should beat her or should last the 5 minutes. Toni Storm, Mia Yim, you know, you could take your pick. Could be somebody, you know, from Impact, Ring of Honor, I don't care. But if they do have a five-minute challenge at Revolution, hey, look, they could. They don't have to worry that much about time because, hey, it's a five-minute challenge. That means the whole segment will probably be 6-7 minutes tops with entrances. We get the contract signing with Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker, and did just fine. Britt Baker getting on the mic. You know, Thunder Rosa may have won the street fight, but look at, I got the shirt. I got the figure. You know, I have the title. So who actually won? And Britt Baker is running down Thunder Rosa. And after, right after Britt Baker signs the contract, Thunder Rosa jumps Britt Baker. They start brawling. Jamie Hayter, Rebel, get involved. They try to get it Thunder Rosa as well. Mercedes Martinez makes the save. And we'll probably see Thunder Rosa and Mercedes Martinez team up, maybe against Rebel and Jamie Hayter, maybe Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker. Don't know. But it seems like that they're leaning towards that. But the contract signing did just fine yesterday. Face of the Revolution, Orange Cassidy over Anthony Bowens to get a spot in the ladder match now. Again, you know, every time I think of Eddie Kingston now, we're not a sports entertainment company. You know, and you could think of the obvious. We got dinosaurs. We got the bullshit stuff in the ring. You know, we talked about it a little bit on Wednesday, but somebody said it perfectly. A chop turned into kind of like a Frankensteiner. Remember when Pac dumped Penta? Just from a chop turned into a Frankensteiner. But yesterday, we get Danhausen. He makes an appearance. Basically, Max Caster tried to interfere in the match. He tried to take out Orange Cassidy with a chain, but Hooded Man showed up and revealed himself to be Danhausen. He placed a curse on Max Caster. We're not a sports entertainment company. And I'm a fan of Danhausen. I've worn his shirts, not for a like or a thank you. I'm a fan. But, you know, let's be honest. AEW sometimes is more sports entertainment than even WWE, if you really think about it. So, Orange Cassidy, with the orange punch to both guys, he is now in the ladder match. And that's Rampage from yesterday. Not a bad show. You know, it definitely advanced some storylines. Pretty decent match. So, I'm going to get into some additional comments that Tony Khan made. We'll answer some questions in the chat, some super chat questions as well, and we will get out of here. We all know that Tony Khan teased on Busted Open Radio about 2 weeks ago this massive announcement. If you remember our show a week ago and the show the week before, we talked about the possibility that could he be buying a financial stake in Ring of Honor. Now, we thought maybe he gets involved in another wrestling promotion, but it definitely ain't being controlled the narrative. The more I thought about it the last couple of days, I'm like, you know, this perception of alt-right, that here you get opportunity. You could be yourself. Everywhere else you get, I'm like, no, I don't think Tony Khan wants to be financially. We talked about a streaming deal. Some of you brought up the streaming deal idea as well. Could AEW offer a streaming deal? I personally don't think it's a streaming deal because Tony Khan said these comments, I think yesterday, and it's very interesting, very quick. He says, and I quote, "I've been talking a lot about a big announcement in a world of pro wrestling. Not only is there going to be a lot of great wrestling on the show, I promise you guys, I have a huge announcement coming. Nobody knows what it is. It's going to be something very important in the wrestling business. It's not one particular piece of talent. It's something very special. I'm really excited about it. I believe it's something we'll be in position to announce on Wednesday. I'm pretty excited about it. So, look, we've talked about him buying Ring of Honor, being an investor, whether minority or majority investor in Ring of Honor. Maybe something with New Japan. I personally, my honest opinion, I don't think this is an announcement that they're going to Japan. I don't think this is an announcement that they're going to the West Coast. I look at it three ways. I look at it as he is financially investing in another wrestling company to give more opportunity. I would love for it to be Ring of Honor because especially, and Solomon Monster and myself talked about it Thursday with the Cesaro discussion. Man, you look at some of the wrestlers that WWE has released. This is the wrong time for Ring of Honor to be shutting its doors. Yeah, they're doing a little bit WrestleMania weekend. You know, everybody does. That's a big payday, and they still have some people that they're paying. But, you know, right now, Ring of Honor is pretty much a name only. Jonathan Gresham, who is the Ring of Honor champion, was backstage, I believe, at Dynamite last week. He wasn't there, just visiting friends. So could he be part, you know, just discussion? Look, Gresham, we got Terminus. Could it have something to do with Terminus? Nobody's mentioned that. I said, oh, maybe it's something with Terminus. Could it be that Rampage is going 2 hours and maybe moving to Saturday night? Because if you remember, we never did a prediction show here, but on occasion I'll throw out a prediction for 2022. And something I said at the end of last year is that Rampage will either go to 2 hours and possibly move to Saturday nights or move to 7 p.m. on Fridays. Because the 10 p.m. time slot definitely hurts them in a lot of ways. I personally would love to see them have 2 hours on Saturday. I know there's a lot of movies that air on Saturday nights on these Turner networks. Fuck that. You know, Saturday night, 2 hours, I think would be pretty damn good. When he says that it's a big deal in wrestling, it's got to mean opportunity. Going on tour is a cool thing for AEW fans, but that's not massive world of wrestling. To me, this has got to be something expanding. It has to involve AEW expanding, whether it's investing in another promotion or having 2 hours of Rampage. That is not a bad idea. Now, some people may feel 2 hours of Rampage is not that big of a deal. You know, when Tony Khan teases that my legal team says I can't talk about it, I don't think it's Rampage 2 hours. Or I find it hard to believe, because when Tony Khan threw that remark out that my legal team says NDA, non-disclosure agreement, I don't think networks would make that big of a deal about Rampage going to 2 hours instead of one. This tells me that it's involving another wrestling promotion. I think it's involving another wrestling promotion. I think it could be Terminus. I think it could be Dynamite. It could be. I mean, some people think Impact. I don't know, man. I honestly, we'll talk about that on Wednesday, but Impact is not only stuck in the mud. We've talked about that for several weeks now, but when Meltzer talked about how they couldn't even sell 200 tickets for their last event, and you look at the talent that was on that show. I mean, you know, from Jay White to, you know, Moose and everybody else, you can't even sell 200 tickets for the following night. You have Scott D'Amore that comes out. Everybody that's here, free ticket tomorrow. Come, come. Man, that's not good. So I don't think it's with Impact. Could it be with NWA? It's possible. But I think it involves a wrestling company. If it ends up being Rampage 2 hours, okay. If there's involvement with New Japan, hey, maybe it's a working relationship. The New Japan is going to send a bunch of talents to the United States, and AEW is going to send a bunch of talents to New Japan for an extended period of time. I think that satisfies a very small audience. I don't think that is a big deal to regular fans. You know, Cruiserweight was bringing up New Japan earlier, which I'll get into in a moment. But, you know, for the everyday wrestling fan, it's usually WWE or AEW. Not very many people tune into New Japan. So if it ends up a working relationship with New Japan, that might be big for a very small niche and maybe a couple of news sites. But for the casual everyday wrestling fan, I don't think that's a big deal at all. Because remember what I've always said, that AEW, when you look at their ratings, you have to ask yourself, how many of the people that watched Dynamite or Rampage also watch WWE programming? It's got to be at least half, more than half. Almost everybody I talk to over here that watches AEW also watches WWE. You know, it might be 60, 70%. I don't hear WWE fans, you know, trying to every day, Vince, you got to do, we want New Japan in here. Forbidden Door, please, New Japan, Okada, Okada, give me Okada. Okada, Okada. I don't see anybody doing that. So we'll see. We will see. Speaking of New Japan, shout out to Mr. Cruiserweight. Shingo Takagi won the Most Outstanding Wrestler Award. Oh, this was from Patreon. On Patreon, he wanted my feeling on a couple of Meltzer Awards. And I didn't see the Most Outstanding Wrestler Award on Dave Meltzer's newsletter at Shingo Takagi. My opinion on that, and I've said this 1,000 times over, that Dave Meltzer is he's heavily favored for Japanese wrestling. It's been like that for decades. I know that going into his newsletter. A lot of his loyal, longtime readers are also into Japanese wrestling. So, of course, you know, you're going to see Japanese wrestlers win some awards. His awards are not for the everyday person. You know, when you see Pro Wrestling Illustrated and others mention some names, it's because they don't want to leave anybody out and they want some exposure. They want some fans of those promotions to invest in their magazines as well. But for the casual everyday fan, you know, the majority out there, I guarantee even people tuning into the show, what, 5 to 10% know who Shingo Takagi is? Extremely talented wrestler. But, you know, would he have won an award on a, you know, regular mainstream United States-based wrestling show or site? Probably not. And look, as I always say, you know, if you don't like Meltzer, nobody forces anybody to follow him, to listen to him. You know, I disagree with a lot of what Meltzer does. And I said it last week. I thought it was a cheap shot for him to announce his awards the day before Elimination Chamber. And that was done by design. Take the attention off of the chamber. You know, just on a historic part with the women, I thought that was disrespectful. But, hey, everybody who votes, you know. And look, let's be honest. For all of you tuning in that don't like AEW or don't like WWE, if a poll comes out and it involves a company you don't like, you may go out of your way and vote against. Because I'll give you a good example very quickly. I have said before, I always wanted to put a poll up. How many of you that watch WWE, or actually, how many of you that watch AEW also watch WWE? Do you know why I never put that poll up? Because they're going to be diehard AEW fans that also watch WWE, but don't like WWE, but do watch it because there are some wrestlers that they enjoy, and they will not be honest in the poll. Just like the opposite. You may have hardcore WWE fans that don't like AEW, and they may participate in the poll just to pull down AEW's number. So it's all fan base. It's all about, you know, it's very hard to be very complete honest with any type of polls, because if there's a lot of agenda behind it. So shout out to Alexis Rodriguez once again. Thank you very much for the super chat. Very kind of you. Again, Kevin Murillo, much love. About the Acclaim reference with those video games that we talked about earlier. James Campbell. See, I do get into some of these questions during the show. I answered it earlier. Vince McMahon's not wrestling, but thank you very much. And Urban Doherty, notification didn't pop, but he is here. And I thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. I thank you all. We're not done yet. This is what we'll do. We're at the 1 hour and 37 minute mark. Let's spend about 5-10 minutes in the chat room. If you have any quick questions you want me to answer that I could do like rapido, you know, just put a letter Q before your question so I know it's a question, because it does fly by. Do you know we had like almost 3,000 chat comments come in Thursday? That's insane. That is insane. I was looking back and checking it out, and I mean, there was a lot of new people that I had never heard of before. And it was some pretty interesting characters, and everybody was great. We didn't even have a moderator. Austin, where were you? We didn't even have a moderator. We didn't even need a moderator on Thursday. That's how cool everything was. Michael Gonzalez, Ricochet is not winning the Intercontinental Championship next week. I don't think Judy Bagwell would be able to go to AEW right now, to be honest with you. What did I have for breakfast? I had eggs, bacon, sausage, and sweet potato fries. Am I scared if I run into Dominic? Dominic who? I don't know. Sandman Sizzle, thank you for the right format. What would I do with Shayna Baszler heading into Mania? Oh, that is a good question. What do we do with Shayna Baszler? I personally think you have to have a match to headline the women. Maybe you do, I don't know, maybe you do something in tribute for women's wrestling. I mean, you know, you're not going to do a Mae Young Classic over there, but you almost feel that there should be like a little rumble or something. I'll tell you the truth, Shayna Baszler, very underutilized. Ever since the draft, very, very underutilized. Shayna Baszler should have much more opportunity right now and is not getting it, and it sucks. If they do some type of gimmick match at WrestleMania, I would like to see Shayna Baszler win it, for real. I am a big fan of Shayna Baszler. It feels like once they split her up with Nia Jax, and Nia Jax was released, and once they did the draft, Shayna Baszler has become an afterthought. They obviously want to do something with her because they still have her there. I mean, my God, what the hell are they doing with Elias? Are we going to get an Elias return to WrestleMania? Should Elias show up with Veer? Maybe Elias is Veer. One fall. Do I think Dolph Ziggler would be next NXT champion? No. Dolph Ziggler is doing what AJ Styles did for Grayson Waller. No, he's not going to win like AJ Styles. He is giving a rub for the Stars of Tomorrow. Look, man, I stood by everything that I said about NXT 2.0 since we first learned about the change. Everybody else, majority of everybody else, ripped it, killed it, insisted that it was a disaster, a train wreck, just nothing is working. That erroneous report from a couple of months ago, that WWE's disappointed with the fan response. I mean, you realize that all that reporting since September was agenda-based, that people were leaving in droves to get out of NXT. It's so far from the truth. That's why February 2020, that's why that time is important to me. Not to say, oh, I told you so, but February 2020, I said WWE needs to go back to its roots with NXT. Create the Stars of Tomorrow. They have no OVW. They have no Heartland. They have no Florida Championship Wrestling. Evolve is not around. They need to focus. They took their eye off the ball because it was too tempting to try to compete with AEW. And they lost. AEW handed NXT their ass. No question. It took gimmick events like Halloween Havoc and others for NXT to grab a win. Straight up on paper. If you want to compare that to podcasts, that's like what I have said over the years, that a lot of podcasts that are popular, are they popular because of the host entertaining or because of the guests that they have on? You take away all the famous guests and now you just have the person. Will fans tune in? And NXT, they needed that extra oomph to get fans to tune in. A lot of people feel like AEW, the only way to get 1,000,001, 1,000,002 is with Cracker Jack surprises because everybody likes a little surprise. So NXT, for 2 years, I said they need to bring somebody from the main roster. Give a little rub. You know, go at it. It's not a demotion. You help the guys of tomorrow. You see, just because Bryan Danielson is not wrestling students coming out of QT Marshall School doesn't mean that he's not helping people behind the scenes. Bryan Danielson is not going to wrestle Jade Cargill, but he is sure helping her. You know, so Dolph Ziggler is helping Bron Breakker. He is, and someone else is coming in. Somebody on the women's side is coming into NXT soon to give a little bit of rub as well. So no, Dolph Ziggler should not win the NXT championship. He is giving a little bit of a rub to Bron Breakker. And that is an awesome thing. That is an awesome thing. That's why I wish Jeff Hardy wouldn't have left. Jeff Hardy was going to do a few things in NXT. And you remember when Jeff Hardy walked out, I said, you know what, I think AJ Styles is going to replace Jeff Hardy in that position. And AJ did show up a few times. It was not, wow, WWE is nothing for me. They're demoting me. No. Little rub for somebody tomorrow. You don't think that makes AJ Styles feel good that he helped bring Grayson Wall a little bit further? You don't think that Dolph Ziggler, deep down inside, especially if Bron Breakker becomes this megastar in the main roster, that Dolph Ziggler, you know, feels he gets a little credit for doing a little bit of what he did in NXT? This is, and they're not working for free. Gruss 512 is the Nightmare Factory still with AEW. Well, Dustin is involved with the factory. So, no, I expect Dustin with the school to continue. I don't expect that to shut down. And it's not contractually obligated to AEW. I mean, if they send wrestlers there, they're paying the school to help train some wrestlers. That's not, AEW does not own the Nightmare Factory. So that shouldn't change. That should not change at all. Benjamin says, maybe Brock gets screwed and loses the WWE Championship at MSG so the titles don't get unified. You don't make this marquee billboards, advertising anywhere, everywhere, having ESPN and People and every other non-wrestling site promote it, and then a week later, never mind, they're not doing that. They're not doing that. Gruss is asking, has Tony Khan picked up a lot of Dixie Carter's habits? Damn, I wish I had the banner handy to answer that. I don't. But yeah, he definitely, about a year ago or so, I made a banner, Dixie Carter, but I spelled Carter, K-H-A-R-T-E-R. I don't think I have it handy. But he's definitely fallen into some mistakes that Dixie Carter made. I think I may actually have it. No, I don't think I do. Well, I don't. That's for another day. I'll show it. But he's not repeating Dixie Carter. He's making rookie mistakes that promoters make. It's Dixie Carter was not revolutionary with some of the mistakes she made. It's just that because of social media and because of her with, you know, getting TV, and because of, you know, Impact being default number two at the time, NWA TNA, that's why it got so much attention that it did. But she wasn't the first promoter to make those same mistakes. So Tony Khan was not taking a page from Dixie Carter. Tony Khan was just making the same mistakes that a lot of rookie promoters are. I think Tony Khan, as each day goes by, I think he learns on the fly. I think, you know, what happened with Big Swall, I think he learned a little bit from that. I don't expect an apology right now, but I think he learned in the future how to avoid. I think some of the way he uses social media, there's no question he has changed a little bit of how he works on social media. Now, did anybody give him strong medicine? Did someone give him great advice? Did his father get involved? I don't know. But I think as time goes by, I think Tony Khan will learn from his mistakes. Everybody has mistakes. And we see if he learns by them. So I definitely see AJ Styles having one last run at WWE Championship. He will be WWE champion before he retires. In fact, I would not be surprised if that's like a storyline towards the end of his career. I expect AJ Styles to be WWE champion. It sucks, again, that you're taking away one of the belts. You know, and you think about it, let's add another question. What happens to the titles? Do they retire? Is it going to be like NXT North American title? That they're going to keep one of the championships and retire the other? Because if they do that, logic would say you keep the WWE championship, you retire the Universal title. Do they bring out an all-new championship? I don't know. I know some people would love to see the WCW heavyweight. That was a beautiful title. That title that Ric Flair used to hold, the WCW World, that title was beautiful. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I love the Austin belt. I love a little bit from the Attitude Era. My favorite, the WWF IC title from the 80s. But that belt just looked like it meant something big. I just don't see WWE bringing that back. If anything, maybe a brand new title. Maybe a brand new title. So anyway, we're going to wrap this up because tomorrow I will be right back here for the sit down. Tomorrow, the entire night is Q&A. Tomorrow, the entire night is live chat and some phone calls. We'll probably do 50-50. And I am going to sit here tomorrow with a blank sheet of paper. Whatever you want to talk about will be the topics on hand. It starts at 8:05 p.m. Eastern, and I hope you could join me. So I am going to jet out of here. I thank you again for tuning in. And for everybody that is new from Solomon's This Show, welcome aboard. I hope you enjoy your stay here. And I just, again, I got to thank not only Jason for coming on Thursday, but for everyone out there that enjoyed it as much as you did. It definitely felt special as it was going down. It felt a little surreal at times. I will tell you this very quickly. Somebody asked me, what was my favorite moment of the whole episode? And for me, it was the very end when I apologized for being so quiet on that WrestleMania recap that time when it was myself, Kevin Castle, Wrestling Soup, and Solomonster. We were all on together. That night, I was very quiet. You know, sometimes you just lose your train of thought. Sometimes you just can't put the words together. And there was some great conversation going on that night, and I really couldn't pick my spots. I couldn't find my spots. And I was very, very quiet, and a lot of people that night thought I was being very cold to Solomon's because we didn't interact at all. And it was never my intention. There was no jealousy. And it just built from there. And I know he was not expecting me to say anything. I know 99% of you out there was never expecting me to say anything, but I knew that I wanted to bring that up. And I'm not trying to be a little softy here, but when I played it back, you know, when I, just so you know, see me looking at you right now? I can't see my screen. If I go here, now I could see myself. But when I'm looking here, I can't see you. I can't see Jason's face. I can't see Mish's face. I see a camera lens when I look this way. So when I was saying what I was saying about that WrestleMania night, and I'm looking into the camera, I don't see Salamanca's reaction. When I watched it back, and I saw that smile on his face, and it was a smile that, wow, that was cool, that it wasn't jealousy or hatred. It wasn't like, you know, it was just like his response to it without saying a word really made me feel good. And it made me realize that, you know, it just, a lot of this friction and tension that's online, you know, not only do you not want to be part of it, but I should not keep bringing it up as well. That's why, if you notice, even today, the only reference that I made about social media was just showing you that picture of Brock throwing a chair in the security guard's face. But here on this show, you know, going forward, really want to ignore that outside noise. People want to be assholes, let them be assholes, you know. And in the case of Tammy Sitch, because I know I just realized I forgot to bring it up. Tammy Sitch was arrested once again. It's not a laughing matter. It's not funny. You remember my last episode talking about her? I'm having a very difficult time sticking up for her anymore. I stuck up for her countless times, but I also repeat, alcoholism is a disease. Some of you out there are recovering from drinking. Some wrestlers out there are recovering from drinking. Look at that announcer for WWE. I can't remember her name right now. She was brought up from NXT. I think she just posted, somebody just posted that she's 5 years sober. You know, you've had some women wrestlers from NWA, two of them recently announced their anniversary of being sober. You know, alcoholism is a disease. It's an addiction. And some of you may have had parents that had that addiction. You might know a friend, a relative. You yourself may have gone through it. So you understand that sometimes it takes control. It takes control. And in the case of Tammy, it took control again. I don't know what you do. She got behind the wheel. She she got arrested for drinking and driving. Now, there were other incidentals as well. She didn't have a license on her. Suspended. She's not supposed to be driving. The car wasn't registered. Not only that, if you remember about, I don't know if it was about a year ago, that if she was ever to get her license back, that there has to be that device in the car that you have to breathe into and before you start the car. Whatever car she drove, she did not have that device in the car. So I don't know if she's still in jail, to be honest with you. No assault, no accident. Yes, she could have killed somebody. She could have severely hurt somebody. But she got arrested for driving under the influence, driving without a registration, driving without a license. I'm assuming driving without insurance, because why would you have car insurance if you can't drive? So I'm curious what kind of plates she had on her car, because I do insurance for a living. For those that don't know, I've done insurance for 25 years now, 24 years. So, you know, I know everything about insurance and DMV and court. So she's probably not in prison anymore. But, you know, because she already had those privileges taken away, it's probably going to lead to some jail time. It should lead to some jail time. All I could say is thank God she didn't hurt anybody. Thank God she didn't hurt herself. Thank God this was no assault or anything like that. But still, the fact, and you might remember the last conversation we had, I am friends with some of her closest friends, and alcohol is her vice. She has toxic relationships as well, but alcohol is her vice. It just, it's her crutch. I don't know if it'll, you know, it's sad to say, I know what some of you are thinking. It almost feels like even if she were to get diagnosed with a severe health condition because of the drinking, I don't even know if that would stop the drinking. I don't have the answers. If I had the answers, I probably would have the letters MD next to my name. I don't have, or DR next to my name. I don't have the answers. All I know is that she got in trouble again and said. So, all right, I'm out of here. Hope you can join me tomorrow for the sit down. And definitely leave your comments in the chat room. I mean, in the comment section. If you have any question, follow-up question from tonight's show, post it in the comment section as well. I will answer. If you all notice, I must have answered about 500 comments since Thursday. It's awesome. Post them. I will eventually get to yours. If I skip someone, it's not intentional. But I do try to get back to every single one of you out there. And send your feedback. Much appreciated. Always welcomed. And I thank you, everybody. You take care.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now, that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.